ahead and give Jesus the biggest praise you can this morning. We've got people from all over the world today. Come on, let's make a joyful noise for the Lord in this place. Hallelujah. How many of you are really glad you came to church? Yeah, man. You could be doing anything today. You could be sleeping in. You could be watching your favorite TV show, having lunch. But isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord on a Sunday morning, looking good? Not only looking good, feeling good. How many of you are just feeling good this morning? I want you to look at two people and tell them, you look great today. Amen. And you can go ahead and have your seat this morning. I really thank the Lord. Thank you, guys. Give this music a wonderful round of applause as well. I really thank the Lord for the blessing it is to be over here in jolly old England, in Manchester, which is an awesome, awesome city. And I really just want to thank the Lord first and foremost for Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky. How many just love them so much? Man. They are not only good looking and funny, but they are anointed by God. And what I love about them and what I love about this church is you can feel that this is a church that's on the forefront of a prayer movement. How many know there are pastors that believe in prayer? And ever since I've known Pastor Paul, he was mentioning that we go way back to the 90s. I've just been so felt the gravitational pull of his life and his journey with God. And when I think about what God is doing in San Diego, I can't help but to celebrate what's happening here in Manchester as well. Because how many know there's a generation of pastors rising up in the ministry of Victory Irish that are young and good looking? Come on, somebody. No, I'm just kidding. And equally as anointed, amen? And I'll tell you, man, whenever I get discouraged in the ministry or I feel like giving up, because how many know there's times in the ministry where you get discouraged? Wave at me. You feel like giving up sometimes? I can't help but to think about the miracles that Pastor Paul and Vicky have experienced in recent years with the healing of her cancer. How many know God is faithful? Amen. How many are grateful for the faithfulness of God? Come on, Manchester. Let me hear you a little bit today. And I think to myself, if Paul and Vicky could go through it, if they can make it, how many know Al and Georgina can make it as well? And so I thank God for that. I thank God for you guys. Thank you for having us here today. I can't wait to spend the whole week with you. It's also good to see Sister Marie, who we love. The Valdezes are in the house. And they were with us just recently there in San Diego. We loved having them. It's also good to see Pastor Jerry and Zana Lou, who we love so much as well. And gosh, man, it's just like a family affair. How many know in Victory Outreach we're family? And, you know, it's just exciting to be here. There's so much going on. There's so much to be said. And if you haven't registered for the conference, I encourage you to do that. Let's spend time together. Let's grow together in the things of God. And today, I'm not going to call my wife because she's going to speak tonight and we're going to be with you guys all week. And I'm nervous, so I just want to get into it. Is that all right? All right. Stand with me for the reading of the word this morning. And I'm going to ask you to open up your Bibles with me to the book of Acts chapter 6. And how many of you can already feel the movement of that conference spirit in this place? You felt it in the music. You felt it in the prayer. Even the fact that the mics weren't functioning correctly tells us that it's conference. Talk to me now. Everybody's nervous, from the sound people to the music people to the preachers. Amen. But this is a joyful time. And I felt it would be so appropriate this morning to preach this message to you found out of the book of Acts chapter 6. When you have it, say, raise the roof. Raise the roof. All right. Reads like this. Now in those days when the numbers of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. So then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men and women of good reputation. I didn't say women, but I'm adding that because I know there's some women of God in the house today. Seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. Now notice here. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them, and the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and many of the priests were obedient to the faith. This morning, I want to speak to you on a subject entitled, Raise the Roof or Remove the Lid from Your Life. Before you see to give someone a high five, tell them it's going to be a great morning. All right, you can go ahead and have your seat. If you grew up in the late 80s, early 90s, you know that there was this famous talk show guy in America by the name of Arsenio Hall. And he had this TV show on the evening called The Arsenio Hall Show. And he used to say, raise the roof. He used to go like that. Everybody just go like that. Go like that. That's the universal symbol for raising the roof. Or that's the universal symbol for taking the lid that's trying to hold me down. How many have determined in your life that you're not going to let the devil hold you down anymore? See, there's a spirit in the ministry of Victory Outreach that I believe is always calling us to a new level or to a new dimension. Can you look at your neighbor to tell them we're going to another level? And as I bring this message to you this morning, we're prompted by the Spirit of God. Because we wouldn't determine to go into any place in the world if the Spirit of God did not go before us. And I believe with all of my heart that the anointing and the Spirit of God is calling you and I to raise the roof and to go to another level in our life. See, if it was not for the Spirit of God, how many are grateful for the Holy Spirit? We would not be here today. I know that it was only the work of the Holy Spirit that brought this Mexican to Manchester today. Talk to me, somebody. There was a time in my life I never thought I'd even get out of my own neighborhood. But how many know because of this great vision God's given us, He's given us a platform for the entire world. It's the Holy Spirit that calls us. It's the Holy Spirit that takes us to the places we've never been and makes us into the people we never thought that we could be. And the reason that God is calling us to another level is because God is always shooting high for us. Tell your neighbor, God is shooting high for you. We serve a God that shoots high. He challenges us to break barriers, and He challenges us to break records within our life. How many could say that ever since you started coming to the ministry of Victory Arts, you've broken some good records in your life? See, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. He calls us to go to places and do things we never thought we can do one step at a time. And as I've been serving the Lord now for 21 years, I've learned that when you're in a move of God and you're experiencing new levels and the Spirit of God is taking you to new heights, there's going to be certain tensions in your life. When the Spirit of God says, you can no longer dwell in this territory, but I'm going to take you to a new territory, that's when the devil gets to work. Can I hear an amen? Because how many know there's always opposition to the mission? And there's going to be some tension. Somebody say tension. There's going to be some conflict. Say conflict. Someone once said that whenever you ask God for a destiny, He assigns you a problem. Solve the problem, enter your destiny. Say amen. There's going to be tension. And I've discovered that when it's God's vision and when God calls you, God's calling is not always a problem-free environment. In fact, most of the time whenever God does call you, there's going to be those tensions, there's going to be those problems to increase within your life. How many believe that God has called you to increase? How many believe that God has called you to expansion? How many believe that God has called you to more? Then you recognize that there's going to be those times in your life when you're striving to be everything God's called you to be, that there's going to be tension. We see it in the Old Testament. In the book of Genesis chapter 13, we hear about two men by the name of Abraham and Lot. And the Bible says that they were greatly blessed. How many of you have been greatly blessed by God? The Bible says that these men were so blessed that an argument broke out between the herdsmen because they had so much cattle, they had so many sheep, they had so much blessing, that the herdsmen begin to disagree in the camp. So what we find is that even in the midst of all this increase, there was tension. Somebody say tension. And so they had to raise their level of territory. As I look out here today and I see this place totally packed out, I think you guys might have a good problem. I heard there might be some people in the overflow this morning as well. And why is that? Because growth always calls for more territory. The second time we see it is in the gospel. In the book of Matthew chapter 14, verse 13, we find that Jesus and his disciples were encountered by 5,000 plus hungry people. And when I think about the story of feeding the 5,000, it's a picture of us to the city that God has called us to reach. How many know God has called us to reach Manchester? How many believe God's called us to reach Rotterdam? How many believe God's called us to reach Dublin? How many believe God's called us to reach San Diego as well? And when I think about the story of Matthew chapter 14, where Jesus and his disciples are standing in front of all these people, the Bible says they grew hungry and they needed to eat. So the disciples, they didn't know how to solve the problem. So they said, send them away. But how many know that God hasn't called us to send people away? He's called us to bring them in. He hasn't called us to shift the responsibility. Come on now. But how many know that God has called us to take responsibility? And in the face of this problem of growth, and in the face of this problem and this tension, what Jesus had to do is he had to raise their level of faith. In the Old Testament, they had to raise their level of territory. In the New Testament, they had to raise their level of faith. Look at your neighbor and tell them, you're going to have to raise your faith. See, I believe that that's a word for us here this morning. Because I believe that we are going into a season where God is going to bring more people to salvation than we have ever seen. Can I hear an amen? I believe many of your family members are going to get saved. I believe many of your loved ones are going to get saved. If you're praying for your husband, get ready because your husband's about to come in. But God is looking for people that will raise their level of faith. What happened? When they raised their level of faith, the Bible says that they met the need, but they also had food to spare. Somebody say overflow. The third place we see a need to raise the roof was not only in the Old Testament and in the gospel, we also see it here in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts chapter 6, many of you know that the early church was in a mode of explosion, kind of like what you feel happening this morning. There's an explosion taking place. There's an excitement taking place. There's a harvest that's coming in. And what we find here is that overnight, the church went from being 120 people in an upper room to 3,000. And in the matter of a week, went from 3,000 to 5,000. Within a matter of a month, went from 120 people in an upper room to over 10,000 people in the church. How many know that's radical growth? And so what we find is in the midst of this growth and in the midst of explosion, in the midst of these people experiencing radical change, something began to happen where the leaders needed to take it to another level. And what we find is that sometimes blessing is messy. Sometimes blessing is messy. And we see that the disciples, through a spirit of wisdom, they come up with an answer to the problem. And where in the Old Testament, they raise the level of territory. And in the gospel, they raise the level of faith. In the early church, they had to raise their level of leadership. I believe that that's what you're going to be hearing about this entire week. The reason we've come out here to Manchester to gather together, the reason we're a part of this church is because we've got some problems to solve. Can I hear an amen? We've got some challenges that we're up against. We've got some churches to build. We've got some cities to take. And the only way that we're going to solve the problem of taking cities is when we determine in our heart that we take off the limits and we raise the roof and we begin to see some leaders begin to rise up in the ministry of Victory Outreach. In the book of Acts chapter 6 verse 3, it says, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation. Look at your neighbor and ask him, how's your reputation? Hopefully they're able to answer you. Come on. Sometimes they might look away. Come on now. Seek out seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit. Ask your neighbor, are you full of the Spirit? And if they say no, say then, what are you full of? Come on, somebody. And wisdom, whom may we appoint over this business? What did they do? What were the disciples doing? They were removing the lid. They were removing the barriers to growth. They were removing the things that are holding at that time the church down. And what we need to understand this morning, friends, is that there are powerful forces that are working against us. There are powerful forces that are trying to stop us from making an impact. There are powerful forces that are working against our marriages and working against our children and working against our families. Come on, I'm gonna need you to say amen. Because you face those forces every day, those forces that try to keep you at minimum wage. Come on, somebody. Those forces that say you can't make more money. Come on, can I hear an amen? Those forces that say you can get married in church, but you can never have a good marriage. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Those forces that say you can be saved, but you can never be a leader. I came all the way from San Diego to tell you that the devil is a liar. And we're going to remove the lid. Come on, can I hear an amen? Somebody say, raise the roof. You see, even Jesus faced this problem. In the book of Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, the Bible says he went from town and village preaching the gospel, healing the sick, making a difference. How many of you are out there making a difference? And then the Bible says he looked out and he saw the people and they were like sheep without a shepherd. And the Bible says that he was moved with compassion. And the reason I believe that Jesus was moved with compassion is because he recognized is that the problem is always bigger than the people who meet the problem. So he looked at the disciples and he said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest to raise up laborers to send them into the harvest field. See, if we don't raise the roof in our churches, and if we don't raise the roof in our leadership structures, there's two things that are going to happen. I want you to write this down. Are you with me here today so far? Number one, if we don't raise the roof, number one, we can stray away from our original vision. Somebody say, raise the roof. See, in verse 2 of the chapter that we read, the disciples said that it's not desirable for us to go away from the study of the word and from prayer to serve tables. You say, well, that's wrong because pastors are supposed to be servants. And how many know pastors are servants? But how many know that pastors must also be filled with the word of God? And how many know pastors must also be in the spirit and not in the flesh? Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you served tables? And in that experience, did that experience get you a little bit in the flesh? Come on, somebody. How many believe your pastor needs to stay in the spirit and not in the flesh? And so what the disciples said is it's not desirable for us to do that because every leader recognized that there's a breaking point in their life when they must rise up and guard their original vision. I see it happen all the time. You know where I see it happen a lot of times? In families. I see people who, when they first got saved, they were on fire for God. And they first got saved, they couldn't get enough of God. They couldn't get enough of church. Say amen if I'm talking about you. And they couldn't wait to get to the meeting. They couldn't wait to get to the church. They couldn't wait to serve and be a part of what God was doing. In fact, them being a part of the conference was no question because they were on the cutting edge. And then while they're on the cutting edge, they're praying and they're saying, oh, Lord, give me a rib. Come on, somebody. And then Sister So-and-so comes walking into the church. Talk to me, somebody. And then they get married and everything starts out good. And then they start having babies. And how many know we need to do that? The Bible says be fruitful and multiply. And if we're not going to build the church by winning souls, we're going to build the church by having a lot of babies. Can I hear an amen? Tell your neighbor, it's all right. But then something begins to happen. You know where I'm going with this. At one time, they're on fire for the ministry, and then somehow they become more domestic. They become a little bit more concerned about life's problems. Come on, somebody. And then they got mouths to feed. And how many know we need to be those responsible parents, and we need to be those marriages that are on it with our family. We need to raise up godly children. We need to raise up educated kids. But we must be careful that we don't lose the original vision. We must be careful that we don't stray away from the original calling. And there comes a time in a leader's life where he recognizes, I've got to rise up and fight for my original calling. I'm preaching in this place. Tell your neighbor, you got to rise up and fight. What is the primary calling of the church? We're not called to be an entertainment center. Can I hear an amen? We're not called just to bring you in here and give you some spiritual goosebumps and send you on your way. How many know this is a place where people are being saved? This is a place where people are being changed. This is a place where people are being restored. We can't stray away from our vision. Can I hear an amen? God has called us to reach the inner cities of the world. And if we're going to reach the inner cities of the world, my friend, we've got to be dedicated to it. We've got to rise up and defend our original calling. See, we have an original calling. And we must recognize that leadership is not something that is coincidental. Leadership is always the result of a cry. Why are you a leader here today? It's because someone cried out to God that you would rise up. Why are you in the position you are in today? Because someone in the city cried out to God that you would answer the call upon your life. Why is there even a church here in Manchester? Why is there a church in Rotterdam? Why is there a church in Dublin and many of the other cities that are represented here today? Because there was a hurting mother in that city whose son was lost on drugs, whose son was in prison, and they begin to cry out to God, and God began to hear that cry. And you might have been wherever you were. You could have been in the men's home. You could have been in the women's home. You could have been in the training center. But while that mother was crying out, the Spirit of God was touching you and calling you to rise up. And that's what God is going to do this week. Some of you, God is going to interrupt your life. God is going to break into your life. And he's going to tell you it's time to rise up to the calling of God upon your life. You got to rise up. Tell your neighbor, you got to rise up. If we don't raise the roof, we could stray from our vision. And the second thing is this. If we don't raise the roof, we run the risk of losing the harvest God wants to give us. If we don't raise the roof and we don't start raising up leaders, how many are with this message this morning? And if we don't get serious about the vision, can I hear an amen? We run the risk of straying from our vision. Wouldn't it be sad to be a ministry that started out on the cutting edge but didn't finish on the cutting edge? Wouldn't it be sad to be a ministry that started out in the grassroots and we ended up so sophisticated we didn't even know how to witness to drug addicts anymore? You ain't hearing me in this place today. And then secondly, we run the risk of losing the harvest. Losing the harvest. See, if we don't raise the risk, we could run the risk of losing that harvest. See, here's why I'm saying this and what I want to share with you this morning. You getting some so far? Is that we're in a season. Somebody say a season. We're in a season right now where I believe God wants to bless the churches of this area in an abundant way. We're in a season right now where I believe with all of my heart that God is saying to Victory Outreach in the UK, and God is saying to Victory Outreach in Holland, and God is saying to Victory Outreach in various parts of Europe, it's time to build bigger barns. Are you catching this? It's time to build bigger barns. Tell your neighbor, you got to build a bigger barn. Your barn is maxed out. You ain't hearing me today. And the only way you're going to make space is either to give away or build an addition. The only way you're going to make space for the new, how many believe God's getting ready to do a new thing? I got a few of you here today. I'm going to ask you one more time. How many believe God wants to do a new thing? Do you believe God can do a new thing? How many of God wants to do a new thing in your finances?
How many believe God wants to save your family members? How many believe that God wants to raise you up for such a time as this? Then you need to recognize the season that we are in. I'm speaking in the spirit this morning. We are going into a season where I believe that Jesus is standing at the door of our life. And in the same way, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He said, "If any man opens a door, I will come in and I will sup with him." Let me say something to you this morning. The door that is between you and Jesus only has one knob, and it's on your side. And you have to make a determination in your heart whether you're going to let Jesus come in or you're going to keep Jesus out. But here's what's going to happen. If you'll open up that door, Jesus will come in and he will sup with you, meaning that Jesus will provide for you. Jesus will speak to you. Jesus will bless you. Come on, I'm preaching better than you're clapping this morning. Signs and wonders will follow. Breakthrough is on its way. Can I hear an amen? You need to prepare yourself, because I believe some of you are about to step into the greatest breakthrough you have ever had in the history of your Christianity. It's time to get ready, because the harvest is on its way. See, we've got to recognize that in order to receive the harvest, we've got to make room. We've got to raise the roof. We've got to raise up leaders. Now, as I bring it to a head today, did you get some so far? In order to raise the roof in the church, this is where I believe it's really going to break down to you today, is we've got to raise the roof in our personal life. If we're going to be the church God's called us to be, we as a people need to remove the limitations on our personal life. Can I hear an amen? Now, I want you to write this down. The first thing is we need to raise the roof on personal limitation. Turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Philippians, very familiar portion of scripture here that I believe is really going to speak to you. This is Paul, and he says this. He says, "Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on." Somebody say, "Press on." "That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended," but here's the key, "one thing I do." What does he do? "Forgetting those things which are behind." Come on, somebody. That's a word for somebody. That's a word for somebody. Forgetting those things that are behind and reaching or straining for those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. See, the reason sometimes people can't raise the roof is because they find themselves in a battle with their personal limitations. Say amen if I'm talking to anybody today. Even powerful Paul. We know Paul to be one of the most powerful disciples in scripture. Even powerful Paul understood the importance of overcoming personal lids and overcoming personal limitation in his life. There are three personal limits I believe we place on ourselves at times. Write these things down. Number one, sometimes we limit ourselves because of our past. We limit ourselves because of past failures and past mistakes. Am I in the right church today? Because I know that you look good now. Come on, somebody. But how many know we didn't always look like this? Wave at me now. Come on, wave at me if I'm talking to the right people. We didn't always look this good. We didn't always talk this smooth. We didn't always smell this good. Can I hear it? Amen. How many know if you're part of Victory Arts, you got some sort of past in your life? And you may be here today, and when you think about the limitations of your past, you think, "God can't use me. God can't use me in 2013. God can't. I'll never become a pastor. I'll never become an evangelist. I'll never do anything meaningful for God." Do you know what I come out of? Do you know what type of background I have? Do you know the type of mistakes that I've made in my life? See, Paul understood very clearly what it was to overcome his past failures, because how many know Paul was not a Boy Scout? You know, if you study its history, you know that Paul was a persecutor. Paul was a zealot for the law. Paul was someone that tried to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. He was a murderer. But even though he was transformed by Jesus, he still dealt with many of the failures of his past. You see, you got to understand, you got to get the picture that in the days of Paul, remember, he was a murderer. He was a persecutor of the church. And then Jesus comes in and changes him and saves him and transforms his life. But they didn't have Facebook back then. Come on, somebody. They didn't have Twitter. Come on, somebody. They didn't have Instagram. Hey, check it out. Look at Paul. He's different. Come on now. If you study his ministry, every city he went to, he had to rehash the failures of his past. Even when Jesus called him, he said, go down to the house of Ananias. Ananias got nervous. He said, wait a minute, God. Are we talking about the same guy? You want me to pray for the murder of Christians? You want me to pray for this guy, Saul of Tarsus? No way. But you, how many know that God is able to change even the hardest, most difficult person? So Paul knew what it was to go from city to city and have to overcome his reputation. See, some of the greatest battles, friends, and I believe this is important for many of you, is that some of the greatest battles you and I will ever fight are not the battles from without. Come on, somebody. Not the battles from without, because there's some tough people in this room. Come on, somebody. There's some people in this room that I would not want to meet up with you in a dark alley. I know Pastor Paul, man, and his staff, boy, they look like some fools up in here. Come on, somebody. And then in America, that means tough guys. I mean, these are some tough individuals. Look at this brother right here. I just met him. Man, this guy looks tough as nails. My God. And some of the people in our ministry in Victory Outreach here, come on, somebody. How many know, we know what it is to fight battles on the outside. But here's what I want to say to some of you. The toughest battles you'll fight will not be on the outside. Some of the toughest battles you'll ever fight are the battles that you fight on the inside of your heart. It's those voices inside of your heart that say you can never raise the roof. It's those voices inside of your heart that you can never be what God has called. I'm preaching in this place right now. It's those voices inside of your heart that say you're never going to have joy. You're never going to be happy. You're never going to overcome those problems. I came to let you know the devil is a liar, and greater is he that is in us. We need to understand that the greatest battle we will ever fight are not the battles on the outside. The battles on the inside. In fact, you know what, right now, let me just say what I feel right now in the spirit. Some of you are fighting that battle right now. You're fighting the battle on the inside. You're fighting the voices that try to keep you down. You're fighting the insecurities that say you can never be and you can never do. But I came to break that off of somebody this morning and let you know all things are possible to those who believe. If God could do it in me, if God could do it in your pastor, then my friend, God can do it in you, because we serve a God that is able, and we serve a God that can raise up the foolish things of the world. God can use you. You see? But you've got to come to a point in your life where you say, enough is enough. You've got to come, and I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what you're fighting in your mind or in your heart. There just comes a time in your life where you've got to get so fed up with the devil getting the best of you. Come on, somebody. You've got to get so fed up with the devil trying to keep you down that you just come to that point in your life. And if you're depressed this morning, you can make the altar call and we'll break depression right off of you. Come on. If the devil's lying to you this morning, you can make the altar call. We're going to break the devil right off of you right now, because it's time to rise up. It's time to become those people God has called us to be. You've got to make a choice. There just comes a time in your life where you've just got to make a choice that enough is enough is enough. It's a brand new year, and I'm not the man, I'm not the woman that I used to be. I love that scripture that says, if any man or woman be in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Then what does it say? Behold. Somebody say, behold. Behold, all things become new. You know, there's going to be time. I've been serving the Lord 21 years. And there's even people that I encounter after serving the Lord all these years that try to keep me down. Can you believe that? Even last week, I came up against somebody and they were just saying things to me and just putting me down and trying to make me feel bad about myself. And I looked that person in the eye and come on, because you want to do some physical stuff. But I dug down deep inside of my heart and I said, behold, all things become new. I'm not the man that you claim I am. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm the apple of God's eye. I'm a leader. God has done a miracle in my life. I'm not the person that I used to be. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Come on and give God a praise if that's you today. The next time the devil tries to remind you of his past, of your past, man, remind him of his future. The second thing, in order to raise the roof, is not only we need to raise the roof on our past, but we also sometimes need to raise the roof on the limits we place ourselves on for the present. See, the Bible says that Paul knew what it was to strain. Somebody say strain. And what I love about the word strain is it's a working word. And I think this is going to speak to some of you. It's a working word. See, sometimes we pray for a move of God, but God is praying for a move of man. We pray, oh God, we want you to move. We want you to move. We want you to move. And God's saying, you first. Because God's favor is not required to fall on lazy people. The fire of God falls on people who are trying. You ain't hearing me in this place. The Holy Ghost falls on people that step out of their comfort zone. The Holy Ghost falls on people that break a spirit of religion in their life. The Spirit of God falls on people, on Christians that go beyond Sunday. I'm going to park here 4 minutes. See, stop praying for a move of God if you are unwilling to move yourself. Stop asking God to do something that he has given you the equipment to do this morning. All you got to do is come out of that church pew. All you got to do is come out of that comfort zone. All you got to do is get to work on your dream. If God has given you a vision, now's the time to rise up and accomplish it. Oh, you ain't hearing me today. You know what gets on my nerves, Pastor Paul? Can I just share this? People who are always trying to delegate their passion to me. Can I talk about it for a minute? Well, Pastor, you know we should go visit the prisons. No, bro. God showed you. You should go visit the prisons. Well, Pastor, you know, we should all go on down and visit the hospitals. No, bro. I was at the hospital last week. You need to come out of your religious spirit. You need to come out of your comfort zone. You need to get off your blessed assurance and go visit the hospital. See, what will happen is this, is the minute you get up, the anointing will fall down. The minute you come out, the anointing will show up. I'm going to need you to go to praising God right now. Because if you're going to be that leader and you're going to raise the roof, you've got to recognize, you've got to work for it. Tell your neighbor, you got to work for it. He says, man, I strain for the upward call. I don't sit back and wait for it. I don't sit back and play politics for it. I don't sit back and play church. Can I hear an amen? Am I talking to anybody here today? See, sometimes we limit ourselves because of our present. Vision isn't magic. Vision is not magic. Church growth is not magic. Leadership is not magic. We're not Harry Potter. Can I hear an amen?
Can I hear an amen? Say, leadership is work. Leadership is when you and I cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit. See, why do you need a greater anointing if you're not doing a greater work? I had this guy in my church the other day. He came up to me and said, Pastor, I've been serving God for 20 years. And he's been in our church just a few years now. And he said, you know what? But he came from another ministry. And he said, you know what, Pastor? He goes, just the other day you were preaching and the Holy Spirit came all over my life. And for the first time in 20 years, I started speaking in tongues. I said, that's powerful. He goes, why do you think that happened, man? I've been serving God a long time. I said, the reason it's happened is because you're starting to get involved in the ministry. See, you weren't in the ministry, so you didn't need another anointing. You weren't helping people. You were just coming to church and eating all the good food, come on somebody, and leaving a little tip in the offering. But now you've decided to come out of your comfort zone. And the minute you come out of your comfort zone, that's when the Holy Spirit says, now you need me. Can I hear an amen? You know what I think is going to happen by the end of this message or by the end of this week? Is some of you are going to go to a new level in your relationship with the Holy Ghost. Because the minute you determine in your heart that you're not going to be a casual Christian and you're not going to be a casual believer and you're not going to be a Sunday Christian, the minute you say, I'm going to get involved in making a difference, I was once part of the problem, now I'm going to be a part of the solution, that's when the Holy Spirit is going to fall upon your life. Say amen. Amen. You see, the third thing is sometimes we limit ourselves because of the future. See, we limit ourselves because of the past. We limit ourselves because of the present. But thirdly, we limit ourselves because of the future. You know what I believe is this, is that we become too logical in the house of God. We become too logical. And how many know that you can't put God in a box? I heard one preacher say this the other day. He said, if I could fit God into my mind, God would not be big enough to feed all the hungry children in the world. If I could fit God in my mind, God would not be big enough to heal someone that I don't even know. You ain't hearing me in this place. How many are grateful that God is bigger than us? Come on, how many are grateful that God can do things that we can't do? How many are grateful that he says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts? How many are grateful for a big and mighty God that can do miraculous things? But sometimes we limit ourselves because we place limits on what God wants to do in the future. And somehow, we allow the enemy to stop us from seeing the future. We allow the enemy to stop us from seeing some of the mighty things that God wants to do in our life and in the lives of our loved ones. See, here's what I've learned. If we're going to be effective, and if we're going to raise that roof in our life, here's what I've learned, church, and I believe it's important to catch this. If we're going to raise that roof, we need a healthy and strong view of the future. If I were to ask you this morning to close your eyes and to see the future, what would you see? I had this young person in the training center some years ago who was praying and asking God for his calling. And we had been preaching about that in the chapel services. And he came up to me, he says, Pastor Al, he goes, I got a vision, man. I was in bed last night. The Lord spoke to me and I received a vision. I said, what was it? He said, you know what I saw, Pastor? He said, I was standing on a platform, and I looked out, and there was all kinds of people, but I saw myself on a platform preaching the gospel. He says, what do you think? I said, that's not a vision. That's the wrong vision. And he was shocked. He goes, what? What are you saying? How could you say that? I said, you need to pray more, brother. You need to get back to prayer. You need to get back to your closet. That's not a vision. So that's what he did. He went back, and he began to pray. And the next time he came to me, he says, now I know what you're talking about. He said, I got another vision. I said, what was it? He said, this time I was standing on the platform, but when I looked out, I could see all the faces of the people that I was preaching to. He said, I saw people from different countries. I saw people from different ethnicities. I saw people from different backgrounds, different economic situations. I saw all types of people. I said, that's God's vision, brother, because you need to recognize God's vision is not about you. It's about other people. Come on, somebody. And that's the problem we have. That's the problem we have in this world we live in today, is that we're limited because we have the wrong vision. The iPhone 5. How many of you have an iPhone or a phone like that? Wave at me. When they first came out with the iPhone 5, they released it.
out in San Francisco to a bunch of people. And they told the people, they wanted to test two cameras. They had a camera on the outside of the phone and a camera on the inside of a phone. And so all these people went out to go take pictures. They said, just take all kinds of pictures and bring the phones back when you're done. And they gave it to all different types of ages. And they found something very interesting. Is that when the phones got back and they started to look through all the photos, people of a certain age and up, people from my generation, you know, late 30s. Come on, somebody. The good-looking generation. From my generation, they took pictures with a certain camera. And then people from the generation younger than me took pictures with the other camera. They noticed that the people from my generation and up used the camera on the outside. Took pictures of the bridge. Took pictures of people and the scenery. But the generation under me, took pictures of themselves. And that's when the selfie was invented. See, what do we need? We need a generation that'll stop taking pictures of themselves and start taking pictures of hurting people all over the world. Somebody say, raise the roof. I want them to come to the keyboard here today. Did you receive something? Would they come to the keyboard? Brother Poppy, would you come, please? I believe this is such an important message because this entire week, we're going to be speaking to you about making an impact in this part of the world. How many believe we can reach the world for Jesus? Come on, how many believe we could really do it? I mean, the fact that I'm here all the way from San Diego is telling you that we've already made a lot of headway in doing that. When's the last time you heard of someone like me coming all this way to preach to somebody like you? It could never happen. How many know it's only the faithfulness of God? It's only when people, hear me clear, begin to respond to the call of God. See, if we're going to raise the roof in our churches and see leaders begin to rise up, I want you to hear me and hear me clearly. Not only do we need to raise the roof on our limitations, but we need to raise the roof on our personal commitment. Somebody say commitment. That's kind of a bad word in church nowadays. People really don't understand what commitment is all about. Say it one more time. Say commitment. There's a story in the Old Testament about a king by the name of Joash. And his spiritual leader was Elisha, and Elisha was about to die. And Joash was being attacked by his enemies. And Elisha tells him to get 3 arrows. And he says, and to bang the ground. So what Joash does is he gets these arrows, and he strikes the ground. Do this with me. Get your hand and just strike. Act like you're striking the ground. He did it very softly, very flippantly, very nonchalantly. Like, looked at his leader like, is this what you want me to do? To me, Pastor Paul, that's the picture of the church of Jesus Christ today. We're more worried about how we look. We don't want to offend nobody. We don't want to hit you too hard. Just hard enough to get you to come back next week. We're more worried about our performance than power. So Elisha looks at this king and he says, you know what, man? Because you were just so flippant and struck the ground 3 times very softly, you're only going to win 3 battles and you're going to lose the war. He said, I wish you had taken those arrows and you just got crazy with it. I mean, I wish you had taken those arrows and struck the ground until the arrowheads fell off and then snapped them and then threw them on the ground. See, that's the type of commitment that's going to win the world for Jesus. That's the type of commitment that's going to see the hardest people in your family come to Christ. What power do we have?
if we just flippantly strike the ground? What power and influence do we have if we pursue our calling with a limited amount of commitment? You say, Pastor Al, how have you and Sister Gina gotten to the place where you're at today? Very simple. Commitment. Very simple. Laying our life down on the altar of sacrifice. See, if you will lay your life down for God, God will make you into something you never thought you could become. And those are the type of people we need if we're going to make a difference. My prayer is this week, as we have these conferences and as we have these gatherings and as we're building this church here in Manchester, my prayer is that there'll be more people willing to rise up to the call of making a difference. And I believe you're in this room. I believe with all of my heart there are some spiritual giants. And oh man, they're here. There's here. There's countries represented here. There's people represented here. There are continents represented here. There are cities represented here. But if we're going to see that happen, we're going to need some of you to take off that limitation. I want you to stand with me here today. Stand with me here today. And I want to make an appeal to a certain group of people. A certain group of people only. I know this message was not for everybody. But there are a certain group of people here that I believe God has spoken to. And you know what I want to pray for this morning? Men, women, and child. I want to pray for those of you that are tired of the devil trying to keep you down. You say, I'm ready to take those limits off. Behold, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And I'm ready to answer the call of God upon my life. And if that's you this morning, you're ready to remove those lids and raise the roof. I want you to come up to this altar right now. And I want you to begin to lay your life down on the altar of sacrifice. And I want you to overcome those weaknesses. And I want you to overcome those frailties. And I want you to overcome those things and those voices that try to hold you back. And I want you to declare the devil to be a liar. And I want you to rebuke a spirit of inferiority. And I want you to come against every lie that the devil tries to put inside of your spirit. If you know how to speak in that heavenly language right now, I want you to begin to speak in that heavenly language all over this place.